Welcome to the Spring Game Pregame Show presented by Sons of Saturday. I'm your host, Pete B. Some of you guys might know me from Twitter. Some of you guys might know me from the 2D podcast. But if you don't know me, you might know some of my friends up here. I've got a great group of guys to help me preview the spring game. And we brought a bunch of the independent media types together to do this. And so directly to my right is Pat Finn, one of the founders of Sons of Saturday. Pat, thank you for being here.
Good morning. Or should I say, good afternoon, Hokie Nation!
Next to him, we got Sam Jesse, my partner on 2D.
What's up?
Thanks for being here, buddy. He ran 3.2 this morning. Give Sam a round of applause.
He's a runner. He's a track star.
Thank you.
And then next to him, we got someone texting. It's Dan from Tales of the Terror Dome. He's locked in and ready to go.
I'm ready. I've been ready. Born ready.
Terror Dan.
And then finally, in the last chair, we've got Brian from the Boundary Corner podcast. Brian.
What is up, everybody? How are we feeling today?
We're feeling good. We're feeling good. And you know what? Brian was the first one I reached out to last year. I wanted to do this partnership. Dan quickly hopped in the boat. We got Sons on board, and the whole thing is now in its second year. And so I'm pumped about this. And just to kick things off, 2D, we like to talk about what we're drinking. So, Brian, what are you drinking down there?
I've got a classic Tots Rail here, ladies and gentlemen. It is delicious. I will be feeling it a little bit later, but that's okay.
What you got going on, Dan?
Man, when you come to Tots, man, you got to do an ice cold Miller Latte. It's like that McDonald's Coke or Sprite, man. It just hit different here. I don't know what it is.
What you got,
Sam? Sierra Nevada. Hazy Little Thing IPA. One of the classics. It's a good one to get started.
Yes. I'm having the same thing. I'm having a little Hazy Little Thing. And I see this is familiar. A Sons partner.
It's a little PBR time. It's game day in Blacksburg. You got to have your PBR. I got my USA Coach Prize shirt on, and it matches my PBR very nicely.
Only football stadium in America.
Hashtag
has blue ribbon.
So if you are watching on YouTube, go ahead and just click the like on the video. That would help us out tremendously. And if you want to comment, please do. I don't see any comments. It's also really hard to see with the sun in my eyes. But if we see some comments come in, we will ask the questions to the fellas. Let's start with just Spring Jam. Spring Jam was last night. It was a blast. Did you guys have fun? Did Billy Ray have fun last night? I think he might have had a little fun.
Billy Ray in the audience. Can we get a wave in the audience? There he is.
He was on one, but it was so good to see so many of the former players. Tyrod was out. Coach Foster, J.C. Price. The list goes on. Al Clark. I asked Al Clark for a ticket. I didn't recognize him at first, and I felt like a jerk.
There were so many
cool people out last night. So that was a blast. Thank you to the Suns for putting on Spring Jam. If you're ever down here in the future, you didn't make it down, you got to come to Spring Jam next year because it's a must-go-to event. Maybe we should talk about some of the players. So let's do quarterback. We saw Kevin Jones last night, Kyron's dad.
Kevin was a blast.
He was awesome. Having fun.
Awesome. Kevin was living his best life last night.
That guy rocks.
That was shit.
He has been on the Boundary Corner podcast once or twice, just chatting it up with us. Seems like he likes it here. I think there was a little bit of a rumor mill going around that our quarterback might have been getting offers elsewhere. Do we all feel comfortable in Kyron being here next year?
There was never a more collective sigh in Hokie Nation than when Kyron asked for a sectional on Twitter.
That was incredible. That was low-key perfect.
You don't move a sectional.
Not to LSU.
He's moving in.
Hey, man, I feel pretty confident. You know, last year we sat here and I said, Ollie Jennings ain't come here to play with Grant Wells. Well, I know for a fact all these receivers came here to play with Kyron Jones, so we good, man.
I feel great about it. I think he's locked in.
And the hype train's getting pretty out of control.
The hype train is getting a little out of control.
Did you see someone put that he was the number one returning quarterback
in the ACC over DJU?
That was kind of a clickbait account, maybe, but still, it's out there.
I mean, technically, he was the only one that returned to the ACC from the ACC, right? So, well, as far as like Cam and DJ, right?
Yeah. All right, well, QB2 then. We're going to see, hopefully, a lot of those two guys. We got Whitkey, we got Pop. Do you guys think, we saw Pop last year kind of go off a little bit in the spring game, a couple cool plays. Everyone, de facto, this is the next guy. After, you know, maybe if Wells doesn't work out, maybe it's Pop instead of Drones. Well, Drones proved to be the man. Is Pop for sure number two? Because we've been hearing a lot about Whitkey doing well in practice. And Dan, I'll ask you, what do you think?
Well, I think Price said it was going 50-50. It was kind of leaning Whitkey, and now it's kind of leaning Pop. But I feel like Pop's athleticism and his like speed and ability to run the ball probably going to set him apart in that race.
Yeah, what do you think, Sam? I mean, they're bringing in Keldon Ryan, who's shooting up recruiting boards out of Texas, Texas to BT. And then they also have Dobby Belford, who is a bit of a social media guy with the, you know, his dad and the whole Brazil football thing. So I think it's interesting this year. It's going to be interesting next year, too, because you talked about drones. This is a NFL springboard year for him. And if you look at the upcoming NFL QB class, he has a good year. He's going, as he should. So you're going to have a quarterback vacancy next year.
That's true. Pat, are you I mean, do you think it's Pop?
I think it's Pop. So I've heard that Pop has filled out a little bit as well. I know last season he looked very skinny out there, obviously being a being a young guy, but another year in the program, another spring in the program. It's going to be good to see him out in pads today.
So let's talk about the guys that will be protecting our quarterback this year, which was a bit of an issue at the beginning of last year. We talked about it a lot on the show when we were at Sharky's doing the spring game pregame show. Throughout the year, though, that O-line continued to improve. But the projected starters for this year haven't changed. We're still seeing some of the same names that had issues. How are you feeling about right guard and right tackle, Brian? Because those are the two spots that are not locked in. I think they're still guys battling.
Yeah, not locked in. It's going to be interesting to see how Montavious Cunningham comes along. That's the one I'm most interested in. I would have liked to see maybe one more guy come in through the portal. That would have made me feel a little bit more comfortable at the situation. Obviously, Schick and Parker have had up and down moments, but you know, we saw with the drones came in, you had a little bit of tweaks to the scheme. I think that helped open up some things for what the offensive line was doing and kind of lean more to their strengths. So we'll see if that's something that we can build on this year. But I'm hoping that Montavious Cunningham or maybe even a Brody Meadows takes another step and can kind of at least slide into one of those spots on the right side of the line.
I had been optimistic on Brody, especially since we saw him play really well in the spring game last year. And he was very young, though, still. And what do you think on right guard? Because there's so many guys battling. And we started out Cunningham at right guard rather than tackle, which he played all of his snaps last year at tackle.
Yeah. I would just say, like, offensive line the last two spring games has been just terrible. It's been really
bad. For one of the teams especially.
Yeah, and so terrible. I think this year you're going to see, like, that's going to be the biggest improvement that you're going to see is, oh, we have 10, 11 guys who can actually block this year. And that's going to make the whole – that makes practice better, that makes spring game better, makes the whole team better. So I'm excited to see, maybe not as much just positionally, I'm excited to see the whole unit kind of work together and just perform better. Because last 2 years, it was rough.
It was rough. But Crook being here for a second year, we saw the improvement. How big do you think that is, Brian, just from the – having played the position, like 2 years under the same coach, will that make a substantial difference?
I mean, continuity is always important. I mean, from a scheme perspective, from an expectation perspective. So I think you're going to see more progression from those guys as it goes along. And I'm interested to see what the young guys are going to bring to the table as well. We got guys like right now, I'm very interested to see what our second team center is like.
We don't have a backup center.
I don't really know what that's going to look like. So I'm interested to see what that's going to look like.
Let's move to something a little bit more fun, a little bit more talked about, has been our wide receivers. Because we brought back all of them. It was actually shocking when we saw that announcement. It wasn't one or two guys. It wasn't just Alec Jennings. It was all four of our main guys will be back this year. But there's also guys pushing those guys from coming up from the, you know, whether it's from high school or just on the roster already, an XTB type. It's Kai Heath. Keelan Adams has been doing great in practice. Which guy, outside of Jennings, Felton, Lane, and Gosnell, what other receiver will break out this year?
Aiden Green.
That's your guy.
That Aiden Green, dude, he was a monster. Like, he got a lot of cardio last year. There was a lot of reps where he was just running routes. But I think, like, this year, it might, man, if it looks the way in the game as it looks in practice, he's going to put some things up.
Athletic Greens. Get him the NIL deal now.
That's not bad. Do you have a breakout? Go outside of Aiden Green. Is there anyone else that you think is going to be potentially like beating out a Stephen Gosnell for catches?
You know, Keelan Brody Adams. I think he's going by Brody. He's
Brody on the roster. The
roster
Brody,
now, yeah. Brody Adams. Yeah, man, he's special. Man. He has VHSL records at wide receiver. I'm really excited to see him because, again, like quarterback, it's about preparing for next year when they're going to have a mass exodus in that room. Who's going to come and step up? And I think he's one of the guys where if you watch his film in high school and you watch how he progressed, man, he's special.
He's really special.
We have an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position, which is something. I mean, I've been following this team a long time. I think Trey said 2018 might have been competing with it. I said this is the best receiving corps since 2016, probably when we had Ford, Cam, and Bucky was basically a wideout.
And Devin Wilson.
And CJ Carroll.
Oh, yeah, Devin Wilson. Shout out you.
But, yeah, it's great. Fontel Mines, like, I don't know how much longer he's going to be a Tech because that guy's just doing so much work, and we keep giving him raises, and he's an assistant coach or assistant head coach now, but he has done amazing things with that wide receiver room. Let's talk about defense quickly before we kind of close out this segment and move on to some other guys coming up here. Who is going to be the guy opposite of APR? I know last year we saw a lot of Cole Nelson, and he was a guy they talked about being better against the run. Burgos has been getting a lot of love. Is that the guy that you think puts up either the highest or second highest sack numbers on the team?
Man, I'd like to see Burgos put up those numbers. I also look out for CJ McCray. I think he's going to turn a corner this year. He's a guy that's moved from safety to linebacker and now to defensive end. I think he's a guy that could really put the pieces together, and I think he matches APR's skill set a little bit more in terms of getting after the pass.
There's a comment on from YouTube. Brian, chug that rail if you think we win more than two games this year.
Yeah.
There are 400 people watching Brian chug that rail.
Strap in.
Oh, let's go.
It'll be a day.
The Wi-Fi toss is actually working, which is good. We are cooking, but closing out the thoughts on D-line.
Burgos has a bit of the pop. Nelson has been more consistent. Brian has said that for the last couple of years. But that's a position to rotate, man. That defensive tackle, you're rotating guys every other drive. You need three or four guys out there. It's not just two starters to go. So good that they have solid players at that position and at defensive tackle. I'm excited to see defensive tackle.
I'm pumped about the guys you brought in.
Yeah. I mean, yo, first of all, shout out Pat for mixing in the water. it's about time, man. This defensive line. JC, great coach. I don't care what anybody says. I love JC. I think he's done well. And, we got dudes running. We got tackles running over 21 miles an hour.
Like, what are we doing? Copeland
putting up, bending bars in the weight room. Like, dude, I'm excited for this defensive line.
We talked about the riches at wide receiver. I don't remember our D-line. Having the names, having guys that they're excited about hearing the coaches talk about since – the four guys we had in like 2015 when it was Daddy and Marshall and Maddie and all those guys. But Pat, I have a question for you because you've been looking pretty up here, but we got to get some commentary out of you. This is a tough one, right? So this year we might see Dorian Strong play a little bit more nickel. He's got kind of a body type for that. I think that probably hinted at it a little bit, maybe even said it outright. If he's playing inside and you got Mansoor on the outside, who's the other corner? Who's the other starting corner? Because Canteen is no longer here.
You gonna put me on the spot?
I'm putting you on the spot. Come on now.
Who can help me out over
here? Dante Lovett.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking as well. Or is Braylon Johnson? He's still playing CB, right? Yeah. I mean, like he hasn't moved to safety, so that would be an option as well. Those two young guys, but I think we got a lot riding on Lovett. I know everyone's talking about our DB core, like, oh, we're solid, but these days in college football, you do end up playing a lot of nickel. You're gonna need to rely on Dante Lovett on the outside. Am I correct, right? That seems like where it's headed.
Absolutely. And, I mean, don't sleep on Braylon Johnson either. So,
Braylon is his pedigree speaks for itself.
That's right. Is O-line still the number one concern in terms of position groups going into this year? Is there anything else that concerns you?
I think to level up, the O-line play needs to level up as well. Like, okay. If we're going to meet what we think we could potentially be, the O-line needs to take another step.
Okay. I'm concerned about linebacker. Even though Rumfeld comes in, they've been saying all the right things. He's coming up a level in terms of going from a G5 to a P5. There's no more P5, but you know what I mean. Are you guys feeling – because, like, Kelly Lawson wasn't in spring. Like, it's a concern for me about – because we've tackled so poorly in the linebacking core at times.
Rumfeld played Alabama. He played Missouri. Two of the best rushing offenses in the country last year. Played really well in both those games. I am worried a little bit about linebacker, though. I think Caleb Woodson is a guy who could show out today.
Met his parents last night.
His parents were great. He's a guy who could show out today and take that step up. But I think for me, it's the linebacker plus safety filling the run gaps. That is the number one concern on the defense.
Yeah.
And I honestly think it might be more of a concern than the offensive line, because the offensive line improved. So we talked about it on the podcast. They actually graded out above average by the end of the season.
Which is wild. Because the first 3-4 games were really well.
Yeah, so I think it's teams cannot hand the ball off and run for 50 yards right up the middle every single game. Cannot happen.
Sam breaking it down. All right, that's going to do it for segment number one. We're going to be back with a couple more guys. I think we got Billy Ray coming up. We got Treadmill Horse of Twitter fame. We got Drift coming up next, and I'm driving again. So I'll be back. All right. 5-minute break. We'll be back on YouTube. Hang with us.
So would you say it's a road soda?
Dan, there was a comment here. Dan better start hitting that beer or it's going to get warm.
No, it's not going to get warm.
We got a lot of people watching on YouTube, and we appreciate everyone out there. This is segment number two, and this is going to be more of our preview of the game. A little bit of season preview, a little bit of a game preview. And the rosters were actually released in advance. That is not something we've had the last couple weeks. We got them on Thursday. First of all, orange and maroon are the team colors. We're getting color rush, fellas, which that's what the NFL started doing on Thursday nights, but it's nice to see both of our colors out there. I assume the quarterbacks will be in white. Oh, I would guess. can't touch them.
a lot of colors.
Did you guys get a chance to peek at those rosters?
Yeah.
What? You know, I see Kyron's on the maroon team. We've got a bunch of really good players. Malachi's on the maroon team. We got Aiden Green, Keelan, Felton, XTB, both Moore brothers. Like, I was first going to the offensive line. I was going to D lines. When you were looking at that, what team do you think has the advantage going into the spring game?
It's maroon. Whichever one Kyron's on.
Yeah, that's I had the same thought. Kyron might only play a couple drives. But they'll put up some points early, and I think that'll be enough to ride it out.
Yeah, that was the concern for me, is that if Kyron goes in and only plays two drives, well, then we have Whitkey, and if you think Pop's number two, then that might give Orange the advantage. Drift, I think you put something out on Twitter saying you thought Orange had the edge.
Yeah. Well, I think the offensive line is better on Maroon. I think the defensive line is better on Orange, so I think it kind of evens out. But I think we're going to get more Pop versus Whitkey today than we are going to get Pop versus Kyron, and so – going orange.
Okay. I like it.
I think that's the reason. But, you know, the wind, plays a little bit of
the wind. It will play a factor. Billy, did you get a chance to look at those two maroon and orange rosters over there?
I got to be honest with you. I have not had a chance to look at the rosters.
Do you think it matters much?
I'm on the record on the spring game. It is an awesome opportunity to get to know the players. I love what they do when they have the entire team come out and you're introducing everybody, all the new freshmen, where they're from, and have the entire stadium get to know them. If you're coming here to Blacksburg to learn about the football team for next year, probably not going to learn a whole lot. That has kind of been my spring game mantra. I do think that it's going to be interesting to see some of the younger guys, especially at the quarterback position and the defensive line and the offensive line play. But we're pretty sure what the team is going to look like, especially at our skill positions going into next year. So I view the spring game as an opportunity to hang out with friends and have a good time.
And we did that.
And check.
We did that last night. We're doing it right now. And I actually didn't give Drift a proper introduction because he's from the BT4L pod.
Thanks, man.
I think I heard someone say lovers, but that's for life or legends. Which one is it? Legends. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You know the history on the legends. It comes from Don D. Fridays.
That's right.
There's some culture there. So it's a great
Don
thing,
started Don D. Fridays as a culture podcast. Quickly got more listeners talking about tech every single episode.
He talks
Charlemagne.
Talked about basically everything, and shout out him.
He's here somewhere, right? He's up on Chicken Hill right now.
Yeah, I'm just a random guy from like Michigan. I love tech. So, this is great for me.
Someone told me last night you had a parent that went to tech briefly or something.
No, that's not true. That's not true. There's a lot of rumors going around. The real answer is my parents lived in Roanoke before I was born, so they encouraged it.
I didn't know that.
They did.
Oh, okay.
We're learning.
That kind of takes away from the randomness.
It,
don't tell people that.
Yeah.
You lean into it.
Just,
I did just Cincinnati, who loves the host.
I mean, my parents are immigrants, so they don't have teams, you know. They just kind of, they don't really watch that much sports. So
I picked it for you. Well, we got great colors and we got a great fan base, so we're welcome. We're, you know, love to have you. And let's get back to some of these questions, because this one's actually a good one. Because we remember 2 years ago, Caleb Smith went off in the spring game, and it foreshadowed a great season. Last year, we saw Grant Wells play well in the spring game, and it foreshadowed the same thing we saw the previous season, which was, it was pretty mid, right? So who is going to win the Caleb Smith Award today for a great standout performance that actually foreshadows a great season? I'll ask you first, Trevor.
So you mentioned wide receiver and Caleb Smith. I'm going wide receiver with this and Aiden Green. I know you talked about him on the previous segment. I just think he's a guy who's primed to have that breakout. Like, I remember the year that Caleb Farley had that huge spring game playing wide receiver. And it's he had gotten a lot of hype in the offseason. And then everyone was waiting to see what he would do. And he blew out at wide receiver in that spring game, which was awesome. He didn't end up playing wide receiver after that.
He would have been a great one.
He would have been a great one. They kept him there. Yeah. Absolutely. And by the way, Drip kind of looks like Caleb Farley.
He kind of does.
So it gets throwing me off. I'm going to get a number three jersey for him.
Yeah, we got to get him that jersey. All right.
Halloween costume.
Does anyone else have a pick for a standout that's going to have a great season? Go ahead, Bill.
I'm going to go with Harrison St. Germain. I think I think there's a lot of talent in the tight end room. I think he's a young guy. Tucker Holloway has said some awesome things about him. Jalen Lane has said some awesome things about him. And just continues to work, and I think he's going to have a lot of opportunity. Played really well against Tulane, so I'm excited to see his game grow and learn something there in the spring game.
What do you got, Sam?
Can I piggyback off of that?
Sure.
We're not talking enough about how good the tight end is. Even losing Dinkholm Wright to Ole Miss, like, guy's now a four-star recruit out of high school, has done nothing but perform when he's there. Nick Gallo has done nothing but do his job since he's been here. He's coming back. Harrison St. Germain, reserve guy last year, popped off later in the season, doing great. And then, you know, it's
– Didn't he have a touchdown in the bowl game?
Had a touchdown in the bowl game. Yeah. So we don't talk enough about how important the tight end position is to this offense and how well they've done setting that position up for the future.
Jerry, what's your pick?
I'm going Dante Lovett. So we talked about him in the previous segment. I think losing Canteen played a lot last year, and I think Dante Lovett's going to take those snaps this year, and I think we're going to see a good performance from him today. So.
He started to emerge later in the season, had some really nice one-off plays here and there, and with more snaps, who knows what he could do. Now this one, we're going to be a little careful here because I don't want to disparage any of these players. But who's going to win the Grant Wells Award for someone who has a great game today, but maybe doesn't follow it up in the season?
I mean, this is a crazy question.
Hey, this is what we're going for. We're starting to
do this. I'm going to go
with the weather. Because I actually feel like
guys got relationships.
Here's the player I think is going to play well and then not play well in the fall. So I'm going to go with the weather. I think we're going to have a great weather day today. And maybe the weather won't hang up so well in the fall.
Pretty windy.
So I'll say my guy who I think is going to stand out in these peoples, he was a freak in high school, but Tech didn't pursue him because he was too small. He hit the weight room at Duke, got really good. He's a special, like, he's a quick twitch, Ricky Walker-esque defensive tackle. Really excited for him. And I think the player who's going to be like, wow, he's killing it and not going to do it as much in the fall is actually Aiden Green, because he's probably wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. We don't pass the ball
enough. Dude, his parents are right there.
I mean, he's great. But it's like, throw the ball enough for wide receiver 4 or 5 to produce. It's just there's not enough numbers.
That's what I'm saying. It's like my guy would be Jeremiah Coney for the exact same reasons. He could be great. We have two really good running backs in front of him. So we're going to see some of these young guys play really well, but then because of the depth chart, they might have to wait another year to really blow up.
Today is a tryout for 2020.
I look at it the same way. I think Dylan Whitkey's my guy. He's going to get a lot of opportunities to throw the ball today. I think he's probably going to look good, but like, I don't think we're going to hear from him again in 2024.
Well, we're hoping not, right? Because if everything goes right, Kyron's healthy and we're good.
I think that's what I'm expecting. Yeah, everyone's crossing themselves. Yeah, but I would also put like Jeremiah Coney. I think he's going to get a lot of carries today. Tyler Mason's going to get a lot of carries today. So,
I'm excited to see Mason.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of these guys. But honestly, like again, this is a tryout for 2025. I think they're going to get a chance to shine today. But we might not hear their names again for the rest of the year.
All right, we tiptoed around that one. That was like Louis C.K. telling a joke on SNL. But well, now we'll move on.
Reference.
That's good.
Pete. What could we see today that says, okay, we're definitely winning 10 games? Like, is there something you could see
you
today?
You know how this goes with me. As if the sun is in the sky and the grass is green, as far as I'm concerned, we will find a way to win 10 games.
And that's basically that's basically evergreen every single year. I think
I see
there.
I feel really, really good about this team, and I think this spring game specifically, again, we kind of know what the roster is going to look like, give or take. We have another portal window coming up. We're figuring out the offensive line situation. But in terms of excitement around the program and excitement around the roster specifically, there's always been excitement around the program, but excitement about the roster and how many talented individuals we have in different rooms, I don't remember it being like this. I don't remember people breaking down the spring game. No matter what I think about it, people are so excited about this upcoming year. They've been talking about it for months now.
Since the bowl game ended.
So, yes, it has to be one of the more anticipated. What was the last season with this much anticipation? Seriously. Anticipation for success, not anticipation for, I can't wait to jump around.
I think before 2015, when we were playing Ohio State game one, there was a lot of excitement because we had beaten them the previous year, and hey, maybe we'll do it again. If we're going to get hurt, maybe we would have done that. But there was a lot of excitement leading up into that year, but this roster is so much better than that roster.
I think the Tyrod years, when we knew that team was the best, one of, if not the best in the ACC. Since then, we haven't had a roster that is this well put together.
Yeah.
To me, you got to go back all the way to like after 2011, after we were in the Sugar Bowl. I think there we still had the expectations of like 10 wins and huge seasons. I don't think I've seen this type of hype since then. It's been a long time.
It's hard to replay. When you go back 2011's 13 years ago. I mean, it's hard to remember what you thought. I remember buying my tickets to the Boise State game at FedEx. And I was so juiced up for that year. I was like going to Gobbler Country or whatever the heck up sites that were out there. There wasn't much, not like today, with all the content that's out there for Virginia Tech football. I would check every day for a new Virginia Tech article because I was so excited for the Boise State game. And that was a tragic end. But that's the level of excitement I'm starting to feel towards this season. I wanted to get a commentary from Drifter or Sam on the what could you see today that makes you feel more optimistic about the upcoming season?
I liked Billy's offensive line situation. That was a nice situation. It's a good word for it.
Yeah, right.
I think last year the offensive line looked pretty poor in the spring game and reflected in the season at times. And so, I don't know. I'd like to see that improve today.
You want
to
see him block.
It's got to be better. And we didn't bring in a whole lot of transfers, so it's got to be just improvement. You know? Yeah. Just development improvement.
I think on that note, I think that the overall way that we improved our offensive line last year was a lot of schematical changes. I know Coach Holmes did a great job on our end of breaking down what Coach Crooks was doing. But I think they did a fantastic job of basically Tech had to reinvent itself two or three times last year when you make the quarterback switch and then when you really refine what he's able to do and then you make more switches on what he feels comfortable and what he's best at. So I really think we've talked about that ad nauseum, how much credit is deserved there. But if you think about some of the other stuff that's going on in the spring game, not just players that have popped off and maybe haven't played as much. I mean, we literally had Caleb Farley had a one-handed catch as a wide receiver in the spring game. Like crazy stuff.
You see some wild things.
Right. You see some wild things. So,
we'll let Sam get in on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the line of scrimmage, like, if it looks competitive, that would be good to me because that means we know, like, we know what Fuga can do. We know what Peebles can do. We've seen them in ACC play. If this offensive line can step up and block those guys, or if those guys can make plays against a much improved offensive line, I think we'll feel good. If
iron sharpens
even,
iron, man.
If that's even,
yeah,
then you feel good.
I agree with that because I do think the D-line's much improved. So if they can actually hold up and block the drift point, to your point, we could be in for a promising year, and I'm excited about having our coach here for a second year. We're going to do a couple of props, a couple of over-unders before we move on to segment three. Sam put these together. They're incredibly detailed. I'm going to get to as many as we can here, but I wanted, let's start with just the game total. Over under points. I think last year, Treadmill said, always take the under in the spring game. Sam has set the line at 42.5 total game points. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking, Treadmill?
Well, I think Sam's doing an awesome job setting these lines, by the way, so call out.
Because that is low. That's a low total.
Yeah. I'm still taking the under. I'll always take the under, so under 42.5.
Nice. What do you got, Sam? You said
Am I going to bet on my own book?
Yeah.
That's highly illegal.
You're like the kid from LSU. Get in there.
I'll say over, but slightly. I think you're going to see Pop and Whitkey look like young quarterbacks against a good defensive secondary. I think our defensive secondary is deep enough that they can hang with these wide receivers.
Drip, do you got over or under with you at 42.5?
Kind of go the over, you know?
Yeah. Like, let's get points. Some excitement going. Come on.
Yeah, 3 points.
Bill, you going over or under?
I'm going to go under, and I think spring games, if my memory serves me correctly, it's just there's not going to be a tremendous difference. I feel like we have a really balanced football team this year, so you're not going to see exactly. And then also when you get to like the end of the third and into the fourth quarter,
you have a lot of guys who aren't getting a lot of live scrimmage time that are then participating in the scrimmage.
Yeah.
There's just not going to be a ton of scoring that goes on at the end of the football game. So I'll go under.
All right. This one's a fun one. First TD in the spring game. Sam did this like he's got the plus here, man. Like, best odds, +257. Jennings is +400. Felton, 525. Drones, 525. Lane, 525. And then other, +1,000. You taking the field here, or are you taking one of those top guys? Go ahead, Trent.
So for me, you got to go with the odds-on favorite here. You got to go with Tootin. I think they're going to get Tootin the ball, and he's going to get an early touchdown.
Okay.
I read your tweet the first time you put it out, and I thought it was silly. And now the more I think about it, if there was ever a time to be like, hey, look, we're just going to go ahead and do this on the first play of the spring game and get people fired up.
Can I talk about that real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I don't know if anyone watched. No one watched it. I'm too much of a college football nerd. No one else watched it. NC State spring game, they had their first string offense against their third string defense.
I heard about it.
They put on like 50-something points. It was pathetic looking. That they put on a show for the fans. If I was Brent Pry, I would 100% rig the spring game.
Rig it for points.
No. So what I do is I run a couple handoffs, maybe a swing pass. We're feeling good. But I tell everyone, hey, play five. Defense, we're going to run a wide cover two. Lane in the slot goes off motion, runs a skinny post.
Don't tackle.
New cleats. Guys slip all the time in new cleats.
You're really rigging this thing.
Vomit. Everyone looks – defense doesn't look bad.
You're playing flip flops in the secondary.
Just one play. Just getting top 10. Why not? I mean, that.
And then you drones say great. All right, go. We're taking your helmet. Yeah. Sit on the side.
I want to get Sam on the staff now.
We need to find a position for him.
Drift, what do you think on first touchdown?
Taking off Felton. I like that. I like where you're going there. I think it's going to be a bomb. Bomb Felton.
Felton is on the maroon team, so it's either going to be coming from drones or Wiki.
Felton on a hitch and go.
Yeah. We've seen it all season, right? So
I've seen the script.
All right. And then there's a couple more props here, and then we'll cut this thing off. Which one should we go with here? Total turnovers? Is that fun? Let's do drones passing yards, because this is interesting. 149.5 yards. That seems high to me for a guy who might only play 149 is the over-under. Are you taking – I know you're going under.
Super under. Like, because I'm trying to think of what would have to happen for him to get to 150. And basically, he'd have to be in for
1 yard over 149. Yeah.
That's math.
I mean, you'd have to put him in for three series, and he'd basically have to bomb it on, like, all three series. Like, I just don't see it.
Do you know how many yards Grant Wells had last year?
He went nuts, so I think
about
over 200.
A lot of snaps.
I do not think that Kyron Jones is going to play as much as Grant Wells did last year.
I hope to God he does not.
Would we all be fine if Drones, like, literally either didn't play or played, like, two snaps?
If he was wearing pajama pants and a sweatshirt, I'd be so happy.
If he comes out after one drive, I'm really not that surprised.
All right. I think that, I mean, Sam, do you want to, is there any one of these that you're really passionate about? We'll do one more.
I'm passionate about all my lines.
He's gonna be really good.
How about? All right, so we got three defensive tackle transfers in. We honestly don't have a lot of defensive tackles playing in this game, so they're gonna get a lot of run. Peebles, Copeland, Gillum, over under 3.5 tackles for loss between those.
This was actually my favorite line that you made. Because like I can like see it, and I actually think this line set really well. But I think that since we're playing two-hand touch with the quarterbacks in the spring game, I think they're going to hit the over on this one.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm going over. I'm going over as well.
And the sacks will be easy to come by, but I also think those guys are going to get after the running backs in the backfield. We'll see. We'll see some TFLs for sure. Bill, before we close the segment out, do you have any final commentary? Because you're going to be running the next segment.
A couple of things. I would love next year. I think it would be a fun game to do bet on who takes more sacks. You do like a Malachi. You just basically say which one of these two players do you think sees more sacks? Sees more catches? The second thing is you mentioned, would anybody be upset if we don't see Kyron play or he plays two drives or whatever? I'm going to reiterate. I don't care who goes out there at all. We have a great time.
Are you staying for the spring game? I'm hoping you're going to be here.
I can't put that out in the
yeah, yeah. But yes, he's coming.
Yeah, I'll be there four quarters. But no, it's just get out of the game healthy and have a ton of fun. That's pretty much it.
All right, we're going to close this segment out. You have something to
say? I do not.
You're looking at me. That's all good. I know, good looking. It's okay. We're going to close this one out. Thank you, Drift, for being up here. Billy, Sam, Treadmill. You guys were awesome. Some of you guys are going to be back on the next segment.
Woo!
Sam and Sarah are going to do a quick picture. If you're watching on YouTube, back in 5 minutes. Thank you.
We are back for segment 3 of the spring game preview. Just past 1,000 of you watching, listening.
Whoa.
We love that. Thank you all for hanging out with us. Pat's doing a happy dance in the back. You guys can't see him. But we're going to go ahead and do some intros. We're going to start number one with the most important medical professional in the New River Valley. So we're going to start all the way to the right and get some intros going.
Dan took my microphone. Hey, I'm Lord Dr. Jeremy. How y'all doing? I didn't know they were putting on loudspeakers. I want all the families out there to know that you cannot come within 100 feet of Dan.
He's already on the front
of the
You love you, Dan.
No, I do love you.
So, Dan, intro. Even though you've already given one.
Hey, man, I'm Dan from Tales from the Terror Dome. I'm just happy to be here, you know, with my boy, Lord Dr. Jeremy Counts. Shout out your boy, Tim Thomas.
Tim. Love you, Tim. You don't come hang out with me anymore.
Sea Dog.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Bounty Corner Podcast here. Brian Siegler. I'm so happy that Jeremy's up here with me because we have Jeremy on every year for the state of the program, and it's a fucking treat. So I'm so glad he's up here with me.
Every single year, I say I'm not going to black out and drink too much, and every single year I black out and don't know how the podcast ends. And then I find out like the next day, Jeremy, you just vanished.
And Treadmill Horse.
Hey, so my name's Dan. I run Treadmill Horse. And watching Brian chug that rail earlier was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Yes.
So, shout out to Brian. For doing
the reaction was funny.
Why, thank you.
The reaction
Mrs.
was funny.
Mrs. Boundary Corner did not do it.
So one of the first segments we're going to talk about, you all have this lovely sheet in front of you. And we all know how this works. We stack rank coaches, we stack rank players, we stack rank compasses. And it's extremely lazy. Some guy who we quite frankly could have had AI write the article, but yep. The article needs to be written. Shout out to that's right, Pete. So one, I want to say, where do we have Coach Pry here right now? Coach Pry 12. Is ranked 12th out of 17 coaches in the ACC, which is preposterous. But number one, I want to say, what has impressed you the most of Coach Pry from year one to year two? We can either go in order or you're fired up. You can go first.
I'm fired up. A relationship building. Mm-hmm. Relationship building has been impeccable. We have like reestablished the 757. We've gotten Virginia recruiting back on board. We have been really consistent in the portal with filling holes when we need to, with supplementing some areas of concern. And I think just the interaction with the fan base and the way Pry does that has been really impressive to me. So I mean, right now, I mean, I can't really imagine a much better scenario at this point, even though I was a little like, I'm not sure after year one. Year two was amazing.
It's also really impressive that the relationships extend past who he's recruiting. I mean, this staff goes on vacation together. They treat each other like they're actually friends, not just people who work together. The entire culture around that building has been so, so, so impressive, and it has come from the top down. And also, what I really appreciate is his ability and willingness to speak freely about, hey, here's an area that we needed to get better. Here's what we did to get better in that area, and here are the results of it.
So This Is Home has been a marketing slogan here for a while now. I feel like when I hear from the players' parents about how Prime staff treat them, and I actually feel like they're coming through with the This Is Home slogan. Everyone feels like it's family. Everybody feels like it's home. So I think he's really delivering on that promise as head coach, and I think that that's something that we wanted post-Fuente, and I think we've got it in spades in Brett Pry.
Brett Pry came into Virginia Tech, and he turned chicken shit into chicken salad.
Bars.
And just the fact, like, if you meet him, like, you know, it just feels – it's refreshing how genuine he is. He's very good at the – I call it the running for mayor part, like the public relations part of the job he gets. His ability to retain 86% of the roster in the current era of college football is remarkable. And, just, man, I'm just happy to have him.
The kids call it Riz Dance. He's got it.
He's got the Riz.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I do on a personal level, like, he was an all right guy or whatever. But there is a difference whenever, like, Fuente would come into the room, like, you'd see him come in, or, like, you rarely see him out. But if you, like, caught him at the country club or whatever, like, he was kind of, like, off on his own. Like, he was a nice guy, like, when you interacted with him personally, but he was kind of off on his own. Whenever Pry comes into a room, it's, hey, like, going around shaking hands. So, like, the mayor comment, like, that's pretty accurate. And he's, like, he's got, like, the personality, which, you know, also, if he were not winning or we didn't have confidence in him, we wouldn't care. It's the fact that he's continually improving, and we're always seeing him not being satisfied, even when a position group is not or is looking really good. He's still trying to add. He's still trying to get better at it, and that means a lot to us. Like, that, I think, is the difference, because I forget who said it, but someone said that Fu's mentality a lot of times seemed like it was, I'm going to beat you with what I got, and Pry's mentality is, I'm going to make everything I have better to beat you. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate what Pry's doing, and I hope it doesn't, like, come back to bite me in any way, but I believe in the man at this point.
You're good. In terms also of access to the program and getting to know all of the important people surrounding it and the coaches and the support staff and the players, I mean, it's just the way that the entire program is marketed is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, like, he just came in and was like, hey, I need this, I need that, and he demanded it of the athletic department, and I think they've done a good job of help, like, giving him what he needs. And one thing that really stands out to me was the Boston College weekend, first home opener, his first home game here in 2022. After Tech Talk Live, there's probably like 70 people there at McLean's, and he took like at least 3 minutes individually with each person after it was over. And I was like, he understands. Pry gets it.
Yeah, Pry gets it.
TM.
Thank you. So we're going to go down this list. Instead of saying he's better than this guy, he's better than this guy, is there any coach on this list that one word comes to your mind when you see that given coach?
Bill O'Brien should be 16.
Dabo Swinney's a charlatan.
I was thinking of a nice way to say the same thing, so I appreciate it.
I don't know how Dave Clawson's ahead of Brent Pry when he waxed Dave Clawson last year, but it's okay. Well, soon enough, it will be revealed what was true and what wasn't.
Why is Brett Lashley ahead of Coach Pry? Because he won the championship.
I mean,
last
he has
year.
More wins. So,
On Three says yeah. so. Or Jesse Simon.
If G5 wins, are a bitch, right?
Yeah. Hey, Brent. I mean, Bill O'Brien hasn't been a head coach in how long? And he's ahead of Brent. Like, that's crazy.
That one particularly makes no sense to me.
Bill O'Brien, I mean, is the one that pisses me off.
Like, it's one of these, like, stupid rankings from some rando. Like, they got Pry at 12, he's clearly not number 12 from what he's done from the past few seasons. Whatever. Let them put this out there. We've got hype. We've got everything going on. Everyone's coming to the spring game like it's this huge event. It's pretty much a scrimmage. Like, we have a lot more hype than a lot of these programs. We have a lot more going for it than a lot of these programs. Who cares about these stupid rankings? Like, let these, like, media people say whatever they want. Like, Price got it. We've got, like, everything coming to us. We've got momentum, and we're going to ride it.
Bars.
Well, let him cook. Bars.
Still going to ask one more question on this media list. I'm going to say a coach and a school, and I want in or out. Are you in on it or are you out on it? And number one is Manny Diaz.
I'm out because he's already proven he can't coach in the ACC. So, I mean, I don't really care if it's Miami or Duke. I think we know how it's going to end then.
Okay.
Out. He is a really good defensive coordinator.
Out. He floundered at Miami, and they have 1,000 times more resources than what he's going to have at Duke, especially on the admission side.
I mean, I think Manny Diaz is going to do really, really good there, and it's going to highlight just how much of a cultural issue they have at Miami, and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to sit around, we're going to throw that at him.
He's zagged.
Jeremy Cowan.
Out of left field, baby.
Do you hear this media guy at the end of the table just making stuff up that we're all supposed to buy?
Yeah, right.
So y'all think I have him on just for shits and giggles. Like, this is the man.
I'm going to go with Brent Key from Georgia Tech.
I'm in.
I'm in. I believe in him. I think it's, like, based on the results from last year, I'm like, damn, this guy can coach. So I'm in.
He maximizes the talent that he has, and he does good with the roster that he has. So that's it. He's gonna go out there, and he's going to win you 6 or 7 games every year. No matter who's on the roster.
Yeah, I'm in on Brent Key. He's the second best Brent on the list. I'm in.
Honestly, don't give a shit. I don't think Georgia Tech is going to have the funding or anything else to do anything.
And last one here, I want to ask you, if you could only pick one of these three who have a really important year for their tenure coming up, you can only pick one to lead your program, Pat Narduzzi, Mac Brown, Dabo Swinney.
Shit.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Elaborate this question now.
So you can only pick one of these coaches to lead your program. It's Dabo Swinney, Mac Brown, or Pat Narduzzi.
We want them to lead it?
Dabo, because Dabo's going to find the money.
Yeah, I'm going to say Dabo, too. Dabo's like just the best coach there is Pat. Dabo is the best recruiter, so he's going to get you the players.
Oh, man.
Yeah, give me Narduzzi. I do not want old charlatan Sweeney around me, and I don't want – Mac Brown stumbling up with his central tremor trying to like coach my team. I don't care. Let's go ahead and get Narduzzi. I hate the guy, but he's a good coach.
This is gonna hurt coming out of my mouth. That Narduzzi, like,
y'all are crazy. It's gotta be.
It's Dabo.
Right? Oh,
it's
gotta be, man. Dabo. Yeah. Dabo's gonna get you the talent. I mean, that's what
Dabo's gonna get you the talent, but like, I think he's not adapting to the modern college football atmosphere of the transfer portal and NIL.
It's God's NIL.
And I'm very concerned about that program long term. Pat Narduzzi is gonna be what he is because he can coach football very well.
One good season with a offense coordinator he ran off.
Yeah, he said.
Fair enough.
He said they threw the ball too much and they had Kenny Pickett.
Nobody said a word about Mac Brown. Positive, negative, word, neutral.
Mac Brown can recruit. That's it.
And he's essentially retired, too.
Yeah, with all due respect, he's like a foot out the door on career and maybe other.
You mean a foot?
A lot of these coaches like Mac Brown and Dabo, it's gone past them because they're not going to adapt, and they were good in a system where they knew how to work the system and get the recruits they needed because they knew how to make the money flow then. Now Dabo can't launder money through a church. He doesn't have to.
Spring,
so
baby.
He doesn't have like this huge competitive advantage. Because that's taken away. He can't actually coach.
Do we? I'm asking a question.
Yep.
Do we actually believe that a lot of these other programs don't cheat in different capacities?
Everybody's cheating.
I think they've always cheated. And I think the problem is that I don't know if Dabo has adapted to the new type of cheating.
I agree with that, but Dabo gets a lot of pushback because he may not, or had some situation where he's able to play players. Breaking news, like most top 25 programs have done that. That's not like
most
a Dabo.
Top 50 programs.
That's not a Dabo.
Dabo just did it really well.
Yeah, Dabo just brought craft.
He brought the church in.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, he brought a entity that you
can brought God into the
have the IRS audit
right.
into it.
Right. Last smart. Last couple that I have here. So I actually like this one. Best lame stadium cheer or band song. So we can hum along this one. We can submit it. You can't say stick it in. I love the that one I enjoy a lot.
Which one, Bill?
Wait, run that back. Run that back, Bill.
Give me one more.
Somebody else, please. Bail me out.
I like a good Let's Go Hokies. It gets everybody. Sandman's coming. Everybody loves that one.
I know for Pat, it's bam, na, 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 na. Go Tech!
Bam, yeah, dude.
H-O-K-I-E-S.
That's
the one, honestly, dude.
One of my favorite hot songs, and they don't do it as much anymore, was in Castle when they would do Welcome Home from Coheed and Cambria. I love that song.
That was sick. You sing it?
Can I sing it?
Yeah.
You want me to see Coheed and Cambria?
Yes.
Yeah.
You want that?
Yeah.
No one wants that.
Yes,
no.
Do you want it?
While we're here.
We want it.
No, I don't perform.
You arrive in Blacksburg for the weekend. Let's go back in time. Let's say this is Drip's first time to Blacksburg.
Oh, shit.
He's been here a good amount of times. We got to stop giving him. He has made the investment, but let's pretend he hasn't yet. Let's pretend he hasn't yet. And he goes, hey, Hokie Nation, I'm headed down from Cincinnati or Ohio. Where is Cincy, right?
Yep.
I'm headed down from Cincy. What is the – you bring someone to Tech for the first time, you absolutely must go to this restaurant, this bar, or have this drink.
You got to go to Tots and have a rail, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Top shelf rail. You got to have it. Rail. You got to spend the money. You got to get it. It's the best thing out there. Do it pregame. Like when Big Game Boomer was in town, I brought him here, got him top shelf rail. He loved it.
Real quick on economy, how much was a rail when everybody was in school? And how much is it right now?
It was like 10 bucks.
$9.
Affordable.
Okay. Yeah. To piggyback on that, it's Tots and it's a rail. It's not the top shelf rail. It's just a rail.
What is a top shelf rail? Is this just like
it's just better liquor? Liquor. Yeah.
I don't mean to be disrespectful.
It costs $36.
That is unbelievably ungrit.
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 I'm a very ungrit person.
So. I was a rail with a shot of, like, it was an extra shot of, I think it was vodka.
You don't need an extra anything in a rail.
Rail you do. He was 6'5". He's a huge man.
They make Red Bull rails? Man. That's crazy. But like, I feel like rite of passages at Virginia Tech, rail, Tots. I'm going to put Joe's Diner on that list. I love Joe's.
Woo! Joe's great. Joe's a staple. Whenever people come to town and I'm trying to give them like a novel experience that you're not going to get in those places, of course, I'll send them to Cabo. I'll send them to McAdoo's, especially if they're from outside the region, because McAdoo's, there's only so many McAdoo's.
So they're waiting for like an hour for their food.
I'm with Jeremy. McAdoo's rocks. I love it.
McAdoo's is great. But if someone is coming to town and eating with me and I'm going out and doing something, I'm probably gonna go over to PK's because I like to
wait.
Go to PK's
that Pat,
I'm an old
Pat, write this down. We need to put an auction up where we're auctioning off weekend with Jeremy. We're gonna go with Jeremy all weekend.
Terrible.
We will start
the
bidding.
Best or worst time of their life.
We will start the bidding at. We will pay you $20.
If you've never had
boring most days than people.
If you've never had a slice of Benny's pizza in your life, shout out the sponsor Tales from the Terradome. I would go to Benny's to get a slice of pizza.
Shut up, Dan. I didn't know my thing.
Anything else that we need to? Anything else? Okay, I'll ask
Turkey. Turkey leg question needs to come out.
Turkey leg of the game. Yes or no? First of all, yes or no?
Yeah.
I've only ever had it once in my life, which is, I know it's crazy. It's just hard to eat, honestly, like at the stadium. Like, and I'm not a big stadium food guy. I'm a big beer guy, so it just doesn't factor in. But it is good. Like, I do think it's a good food item.
I've never had one.
The turkey leg is solid. So, like, I think the big question on here is, like, is a turkey leg shareable, right? Like, that's to me, that's the big question. If you will share a drink with someone, you will share a turkey leg with them.
There's a big difference. I would go ahead and take a sip out of your meal. If you offered me your turkey leg, I would be like, nay, sir. No, there is no way.
I like the turkey. If you're willing to stand in the line for the turkey leg,
time out. Time out. How different?
Would you share corn?
It's literally corn. It's like sharing corn. I will share corn with my wife. I will share a turkey leg with my wife.
That's right. You're sharing it with a spouse.
No, that's fine. Yes.
That, but a bro, a close bro?
Here's
you will drink from my beverage, you can eat from my turkey.
Yo, Pete, you try to share a turkey leg?
Time out.
Honestly,
it depends on how hungry I am.
No, the only thing you can share from a turkey leg is if someone is in dire need of like some kind of greased up lubrication. And I'm talking dire. That no one's going to take a big old bite out of that turkey leg after you've done it.
Are you sure?
I hope not.
I'm so glad we asked this question. I know.
any final submissions from anybody on questions?
I just don't want anyone's fingers in my turkey leg. You can bite from my turkey leg, no fingers in the turkey leg.
Keep the phalanges out of my turkey leg.
The biggest thing that came out of that was Billy Ray's never
get
had
your
a turkey
greasy
leg.
How
was
that
possible?
Never had one. I do need to do that. I'll cross it off the list this year. I've had pizza off the ground. I've had Reese's peanut butter cups. I've never had
pizza off the ground, but no turkey leg.
No turkey legs. No. Hat's a big turkey leg guy. It's almost like an accessory.
Okay, Brian, victory bites. I just think there's two double Jameson draws up here, and you all are still on the same Miller lines.
I'm not on the same Miller. This is
Huh.
This
and is has like less than a quarter left.
And that will do it for the spring game analysis. Thank you to our panelists. Thank you to our listeners, watchers, and attendees. Thank you so much, Mrs. Treadmill Horse, for taking this awesome
shout out, Mrs. Treadmill Horse.
We hope everybody has a great time. Can't wait to learn so much about the football team here in a few minutes. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you soon. Pete, also, round of applause for Pete for setting this up.
Yeah, shout out, Pete.
Let's go. To the game.
All right, wait. We're going to go. All right, one, two, three. All right, boys.
There we go. That